I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number one. And as you're turning to that, or when you're done turning to that, I'd like us to start with prayer this morning. And we're going to just see where God wants to take us today, all right? I have no clear direction on, I know what I need to share, but I'm not sure where God is going to take all this. So we're going to just give the remainder of our time together over to Him and let Him lead this, all right? Let's pray. Father, we need Your presence desperately today. God, we need Your presence tomorrow and every day thereafter. We pray right now for the power of the Spirit of God to come into this place, into the homes of the people that are watching. We pray, Father, that the Spirit of God would do as He has done repeatedly in the past. God, that He would make a way, that He would make a difference, that He would heal bodies and give direction. And right now, God, we ask that You would open our hearts and our minds to Your Word. Let us hear what the Spirit of God has to say. Father, right now, to exercise the authority that You have given to us as believers, we take authority over every principality, over every power. We take authority over that coronavirus, and we say that that thing will not touch these people, the homes we live in, the people that are watching, or the people of this church. God, we stand on what Your Word has said. We believe You. We trust You. We know that what's going on around us is real, but God, You have delivered people from realities since time has begun. And we thank You for doing that again right now. Father, we ask all these things that You would be glorified, and we ask them in faith believing, because we ask them in Jesus' name, amen. when I, my wife's not able to be here today, but when we first started going with each other, little trip down memory lane, we had a song. Now, she actually pursued me when this whole thing began. You can ask her. She asked me once, she said, "Did I chase you?" And I said, "Look, a mousetrap doesn't chase a mouse, but it catches it just the same." So, it was very romantic. So we had this song, you know, back in that day, people would, you know, do things like that. We had our song, and Becky lived over by where Pastor Phil and Alice live, on that side of town. I lived right down at the end of this alley, and her school bus would go by my house every day on the way to school. My bedroom, second story, faced Madison Street down here, and so we had this song, and maybe some of you remember it. It goes, "I don't remember what day it was." You remember that song? "I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you." Do you know the song? Okay, good. So what we would do is our little connection, as her school bus would go by, I wrote that song out on a piece of cardboard and stuck it in my window so that every day as the school bus would go by, she'd look up and say, "He still loves me." And then when I'd see her at school, because I walked to school or drove to school, when I'd get to school, we'd, you know, have our little time together and express our love to each other. And if you've ever been in love, then you know that when you first fall in love, you can't be with each other enough. You can't say enough nice things. You can't get enough of each other. Now, will somebody please say amen? Because I was starting to wonder about all of you there, you know. No response. Would you be surprised if I told you that that same relationship that you had when you first fell in love, and hopefully still do have, is exactly what God wants from you every second of every day? We need to get away from the idea of the presence of God being in the church. And we maybe meet with him a couple times during the week. God wants an intimate, I love you intensely relationship with his people 24 hours a day. So that when you wake up at night, for whatever reason you wake up, he's on your mind because you are constantly on his mind. And I'm going to tell you something that is a conviction of mine. That in the day that we live, this presence is not just a novelty, it is a necessity. It is a necessity for life. It's a necessity for what is to come. I think of David so many times when I think about this sort of thing. And I think, here's this shepherd boy on some remote hillside in Israel. All of his family's down in the home gathering area. His brothers and his mom and dad are all down there. He's up in the middle of the night tending sheep. But as he sat on that mountainside, he said, there is one thing that I desire, and that is the presence of God. In fact, in Psalm 84 and verse 10, he says, and we sing this song, you already know it. He said, it's better to dwell in the house of the Lord for one day than 1,000 years someplace else. It's better to dwell in the presence of God for one moment than in the presence of anything else for all of time. It's something that God desires of us. We cannot imagine or comprehend the love of God that draws us to his side. And so I've looked at this book of Joshua, and I want to share a little bit about a story that this chapter reveals to us. There was actually a turning point in the history of the Israelites. It was actually a moment that defined who Israel was, because something profound had happened and something even more profound was getting ready to take place. So we're talking about the presence of God, needing the presence of God, desiring the presence of God, living in, and listen to me, experiencing the presence of God, being aware of his presence day in and day out, to the point that living in his presence becomes very natural to us. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I have a feeling that this word today, though it's general in one sense, is going to become very specific to many people or some people in another sense. And so I want you to listen very closely. The book of Joshua is one of my favorite books because it talks about doing something. I like to see things happen. I like to see things get done. One of my favorite jobs that I ever had in my life was just before I went into the military. I knew I was going to be taken, and so I got a job over here on 19 in Elkhart at Indiana Trailer Supply. And I was a forklift driver there. And you say, of all the jobs, well, other than the ministry, I mean, I've done a lot of stuff, but that was one of my favorite jobs. You know why? Because as the day went by, I could see things happening. There's 15 pallets there. They're now not there. They're now in the back of that truck. And I made them get there. It was a sense of accomplishment. I like to see stuff happen. And the book of Joshua sees things happening. If the book of Joshua had a New Testament counterpart, my guess is that it would be the book of Ephesians. Because the book of Joshua talks about possessing the land, and the book of Ephesians talks about possessing life. Doing something to possess life. We recently, Becky and myself, we have Bible studies, and we did a study of Ephesians chapter 4. Now, in Christianity, we always say, or at least fundamental Christianity, we always say, well, we don't believe in the do's and the don'ts. But actually, if you look at Ephesians 4, there's a whole list of do's and a whole list of don'ts there. Do this, don't do this. So we identified all of those do's and all those don'ts. Then we went by and put our initials by the side of the things that we need help with, things that we're doing that we shouldn't do, and vice versa. So that gave me that checklist of moving me into a place where I could see things happening. And I'd encourage you to do that just as a side note. Sit down with your husband and wife or your kids and look at Ephesians chapter 4 and just make a list of everything that you are supposed to do. Don't get involved in vain imaginations. Don't get involved in this and involved in that. Things you should do. And hold yourselves accountable for what that chapter says. So we look at Joshua chapter number 1 and look what it says here. Follow along as I read. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, I want you to stop and think about that for a second, because maybe you've read this over before and it doesn't have much meaning to you, but I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the children of Israel. The only thing that this generation that's being spoken to, the only thing they knew about God, they knew through Moses. If you had a problem, you went to Moses. Their footprints were all over the desert as they followed Moses on their way to this promised land. It was Moses that held his staff up, and the waters backed forth over the Red Sea. The King James Version says the waters congealed, and that meant it was they were held up like frozen walls, and they passed by on dry ground. It was Moses that prayed down the plans for the tabernacle, and that might not mean much to you and me because we freely walk in and out of the church, but the tabernacle in those days and to that generation was the only way that the children of Israel could have any sort of an encounter with God. Prior to Moses going up to the mountain and getting this revelation from God on how the tabernacle should be laid out, they had no opportunity for any sort of a semi-personal relationship with God. It was Moses that prayed when they had no food and the manna fell from heaven. It was Moses that prayed and God flew quail in so that they would have food. It was Moses that showed them everything that there was to know about God. And now all of a sudden, one day, Moses goes up to the mountain to hear from God, and he never comes back. And can you imagine what they might have thought? We've almost made it. And now, maybe in their minds, something like this, and now God himself is dead. Because our only representation is gone. But the scripture goes on to say some interesting things. It says, therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, notice that he says, I'm going to give you the land. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness, from this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, and yet what must they be thinking? But the one that held them back is now gone. Our only protection is gone. Our only voice from heaven is gone. Think about this again. Let's go back to the manna for a second. Never once did that generation have to prepare a meal because God brought it. But notice this as you read the story of the manna, that the manna fell right outside their tents. The manna didn't fall into their mouths. God's provision had to be reached for in order to be received. I think there's a word there for this church. We have now reached a point, and I'm not trying to over-glorify anybody, but I think it's very commonly accepted, I certainly do believe, and even though they're sitting here this morning, I'll say it, that under Phil and Alice's direction, this church was brought, as I understand it, back from a very precarious position to a place of life. And then all of a sudden, one day, Moses, our servant, is no longer here. Now he's here, but he's not our pastor. Now the manna is falling for the church. But it's not going to fall into our mouths. There are some things that God is going to tell us that we need to do and we're going to need to reach to get to that next level that God has for us. If we're going to be fed the nutriments of heaven, then we're going to need to place ourselves in a position to be open to what God has and be willing to reach out, not only in this church, but in your life. What are you praying for? What are you asking for? What are you waiting on God to do? God is providing the manna, but God is expecting us to reach out, to get out of our zone, and be willing to extend ourselves into a direction that God, only God knows, but God is willing to reveal it to you by the power of your Spirit. But the revelation of God will only come when you step out of where you are into his presence that you might hear his voice. Like I said, I'm not real clear who I'm preaching to or who I'm speaking to today. But the point of all that I just said is this, that God must be seeking the presence of God on a daily basis, on an hour-by-hour basis, on a moment-by-moment basis is a necessity if you're going to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. If you're going to be able to understand from the mouth of God how it is that the manna gets from outside the tent into your stomach. He says this, verse 5 again, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Now please, if you believe in marking in your Bibles, underline this. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, and I will not forsake thee." As I read that text this week, I could not get that verse out of my mind. As I was, so will I be. As I was, so I will be. And I'd like for you to be able to allow the Spirit of God to personalize that to whatever situation you're going through. I'd like for us as a church to bring that down right to where you and I are. As he was, so he will be. It does not matter what they've said about you. It does not matter what you have done. It does not matter what circumstance is before you right now. It does not matter how impossible things seem to be. As he was, so he will be. As he was, so will he be. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong. Let's stop there for a second. How can we be strong when we know we're weak? And I'm going to tell you what I believe God revealed to me personally and is revealing again for us this morning. We become strong when we are in the presence of God. We become strong when we are in the presence of God. And listen, the thing that brings us into, one of the things that brings us into the presence of God is when we learn how to praise and worship God. You know, you don't need, I thank God for the musicians, but you don't need them to get into God's presence. I thank God for a beautiful sanctuary and the atmosphere in this place, but you don't need that to get into God's presence. There are many times during the day where I find myself getting weak and I find it necessary to just lay my head back on my chair or get up and walk around in our home and start praising God and just start singing to God. I make a joyful noise to the Lord. If I can, you can as well. And you would be surprised if you will discipline yourself and demand of your spirit, as David did, "I will praise God." And notice what David said. He said, "I'm going to praise you in the morning, I'm going to praise you at noon, and I'm going to praise you at night." Then he said, "I'm going to praise you 7 times a day." And finally he said, "I can't get by with just 7 times a day. Your praise will continually be in my mouth." Can you say that? You say, "But you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what my circumstances are." I know this, that in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And where there is fullness of joy, there is fullness of strength. And if you will demand of your spirit, "I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord," you will find that being strong and of a good courage is well within your reach, because you have activated the principles of God. He says this, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest do to observe all according to my law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not thee from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. What's he talking about? He's talking about digesting the word, knowing the word, eating the word, letting the word of God get into your spirit. Do you find time during the day to study the word of God? Do you find time during the day to give God praise? Have you reached a level yet that God wants you to, where you're praising God consistently and constantly? He says this, verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What does that mean? That sounds to me like he's talking about confessing his word. Knowing the word and confessing it. Rather than going to the phone to call somebody about your problem, pick up the word of God and declare the word of God to the situation and watch the word of God make a difference in your life. We want miracles in this church. And we not only want them, this church has been earmarked by God. I believe this with all my heart. This church has been earmarked by God to be a miracle center where people in this city will come. They're going to come here just like they might go to the hospital. Number one, it's cheaper. Number two, it gets immediate results. That's what God wants. You're looking at me like there's something wrong with me. I believe this. In fact, I'll tell you this. We've been here over, about a year and a half or something, and we love all of you. We love the Shanks. We love all of you. But if we didn't know that there was a vision for this church, we would be someplace where there was. There are so many churches just floating along, and a good day for them is, well, we had a full house and we made budget. Well, that's not where the heart of God is. The heart of God is in the miracles of God taking place so that the unbelieving world can see that there's a God in heaven. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. That's true of this church, and that is true of you as an individual. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. What does that mean? Food. Now, you say, didn't you just tell me God was dropping manna down? Make a note of this. That is easy is always temporal. That is easy is always temporal. Do you find this strange? God said, sounds like an oxymoron, it is, I'm giving you the land, but you must go in and possess it. I am giving you the land, but you must possess it. Possession of the promises of God will always require preparation. Prepare you food. These guys had never cooked a meal in their life. And now they're sitting there within eyeshot of the promised land saying, we almost got there. Moses is dead. Now we're being told we got to get food around, get ready to cook it before we can go and possess. That was the plan of God. That is the plan of God for the believer. That's the plan of God for this church. We are preparing now through prayer. We prepare through praise and worship to go in and possess what God has already given to us. And we've got to keep that in our minds. The provision is already there, but we've got to go possess it. The possession is there. The promise is there. The last time I spoke, I used a verse out of Matthew. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent sit there and wait on it to fall in their lap. They take it. They take it by force. They become intentional with the vision that God has given to them. Do you have a vision from God? Do you know what God has planned for your life? Do we know what God has planned for this church? I believe we do. But let's bring it back to you. Do you understand where God is? You say, I'm a little bit on. Get into the presence of God. Begin to thank God. Begin to worship God. I don't stand up here to condemn anybody, but my guess is that maybe some of you have never really felt the presence of God. You've never really experienced the presence of God. Well, you say, one time about 3 weeks ago, I felt the Spirit of God move through the church. I'm not talking about the church. You know why it's hard for... See, now I'm preaching like I'm the pastor, and I'm not. But you know why it's hard for us to get going in this church on Sunday morning? Because most of you aren't doing it at home during the week. You know that? You know something? We had a church of 1,000 crack addicts, drug addicts. You think that only Christians can praise God? We had a church in downtown Minneapolis, and on Sunday mornings, we had a guy, he was a local drug dealer, or he had been a local drug dealer, and we used to have him come up on the platform and sing. His name was Jonathan Ivy, and he would sing, I'll never be lonely again, never again. And you know how the Spirit of God would move in that church? An ex-drug addict up there, a dope dealer up there singing? Yes. And when he would sing, the glory of God came down. It's what you can do in your own home. And when you begin to praise God and worship God and find that secret place, you'll discover that as he was, so will he be. Phil and Alice are gone, but God is still there. Your husband might have walked out on you, but God is still there. Your wife might have left you, but God is still there. All your friends might be talking about you, but God is still there. This city needs to hear this word. This city needs to feel this presence of God. They're not going to feel it until we experience it and we begin to share it and spread it and move it out. Prepare you victuals. Get ready to go. For within 3 days. Now, where have we heard that 3 days before? Why does God always use 3 days? It doesn't matter 3 days. What's talking about there, what's being talked about, is the time of preparation. We are in our 3-day period right now. We need to come together like never before. We need to pray and praise and worship like never before. We need to seek the Word of God. We need to be speaking out the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about when we're all gathered here together on Sunday morning. I'm talking about as a way of life, as a way of life. When you don't know what to do at work, you get on your knees and you start seeking God and you start praising God and you trust God for the answer. When you don't know what to do with your kids, you start praising God. You get in the presence of God and God gives you the answer. When you don't know what to do with your bills, you start seeking God. You start declaring the word and God brings an answer. And when the church becomes energized with the power of praise and the power of worship and the power of the word of God, then we'll say the same thing of God in this city that they said of God in Israel: as he was, so he will be. As he was, so he will be. I can't get that phrase out of my mouth. As I was, so I will be. As I was, so I will be. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what did he say? When you seek after me with all of your heart, then you will find me. I want you all to stand up. It's like my homiletics teacher once told me, if you're not striking oil, stop boring. There's a song. I'm sorry. I was told ahead of time, if you've got anything, I just now thought of it. Sorry. Now I just lost it. I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Do you know it? Praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Now here's what I want you to do. I guess all of you know it good enough to stumble by. I want all of you that feel comfortable doing this, I want you to come up here. You say, well, why do we got to go up there? There's something about the family being close to each other. And, you know, there's something about the altar. So I want you to come on up here. And we're going to seek God for just a few moments. It's only 1 minute after 11. We're going to seek God for just a few moments, and we're going to trust that his presence is going to linger all day long. And listen to me, if you will get this in your minds and get a conviction in your heart, this is the way that we need to start each day. There's a song called The Secret. It says, so I guess I've learned the secret. I guess I know the way. You must seek God in the morning if you want him through the day. Keep that thought in mind. Let's sing it together. I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I want you all just raise your hands up. Would you do that, please? And I want you to open your mouths and just start expressing your love to the Lord. God, we thank you for all that you have done. Father, we look back over our lives of times that you have delivered us, times that you've healed us, times that you've done miracles for us, God. We are just so grateful and thankful. And Father, right now we give this moment to you. We're not going to be thinking about our plans this afternoon or the trouble we've got tomorrow. God, this time is for you. God, we give you this time right now. And God, we tell you that we love you. We tell you that we appreciate you so much. God, you've been such a good God to us. You are so faithful. God, we thank you that Jesus died on the cross. God, had he not died on the cross, we would have no chance to escape hell. We'd have no chance to talk to you and have communion with you in fellowship. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. Speak to our hearts. God, we know that you long. We know that you long, God, for worship and praise. God, may we be obedient servants, and God, may out of a thankful heart we sing praises to you, God, day and night. Hallelujah. You keep your hands up and keep focused on God, but think about this. When God comes to church, he doesn't need the word. It's his word. He needs worship and praise. That's why he comes. That's why he's here. That's what he desires. And as his people, God, we come to you with grateful hearts. God, we can't praise you enough. Speak to us, Father. Speak to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you choose to become a worshiper of God? Will you choose to become a worshiper of God? Will you choose to become somebody who seeks him? Not just once or seven times a day, but all day long. Will you praise him? Will you give him glory? Hallelujah. 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 Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and Would you just turn to somebody right now and take their hand and pray with them, pray for each other, that God, I'm trusting that God has set us off on a new course today, that each day is going to be filled with His presence. Each day is going to start off with the Lord. Father, we pray for each other right now. We agree for each other right now. God, we make a pact, and we become accountable to each other, God, that even if it's just for a few moments, God, we start each day seeking You. God, what You want to fulfill in our lives and in this church, it's got to begin there. And God, the Word would become alive. We would have desire for the Word, God. We would ingest the Word and then declare the Word, God, before calling anybody, before calling the doctors or anybody else, God, we would first declare Your Word. Because, God, it's from You that all good things come. It's from Your Word that all good things come. God, we want to be a people that are totally dependent upon You. And, God, we want to be people that enter into Your presence and stay there all day long. Father, we commit ourselves to each other to that end right now. Father, as we leave this place, may the Spirit of God linger with us. We know that He's in us, but oh God, may He become active in us, reminding us of these truths all day long. And Father, for all this, I thank You. We declare these things as being done because we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thanks for letting me share with you today. You're dismissed to take off. Have a great day.